Boker Tov, everyone. Boker Tov, great to see everyone. Nice to have everyone back. And hope everyone had a very meaningful and uplifting Yamim Noraim and Chagim, and even those that are back from the summer, seeing them for the very first time. Welcome back, Ruchim Abayim. And always a great merit and a special schus to be able to learn together with you, to be together in Yerushalayim, learning Torah together. So this past year, we devoted our time to the teachings of Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, Zatzal, in the area of Parshat HaShavua. So what I'd like to try to do this year is to continue with the learning of Rabbi Soloveitchik, but look at themes, look at teachings, the philosophy, the thought of Rabbi Soloveitchik, some of the very unique perspectives that Rabbi Soloveitchik brings to Jewish thought. And that is going to be our goal for this coming year. I think it's something that hopefully will be very, very inspiring. And I think that's part of the idea and the way that I like to kind of direct things in our learning together is ideas that we can kind of think about in terms of our own religious life, in terms of our own personal, our inner spiritual life, that that these ideas can serve to enhance and be an inspiration for us. And I'd like to begin with a teaching that is very meaningful for me, and a very, very, I think a very, very inspiring and beautiful teaching of Rabbi Soloveitchik. And it's one that comes from, most of what we're gonna learn today comes from an article which is called Shlichut, which is found in a book called Yemei Zikaron, which is a collection of teachings in Hebrew of Rabbi Soloveitchik. And he's gonna discuss the idea of Shlichut. Now, what does Shlichut mean? Shlichut means that we are emissaries, that we are here in this world with a purpose, that it's not coincidental, the time that we're here and the place that we're living, but Hashem has something great in mind for all of us to achieve and to attain in this world. So let's begin with the following makor, with the following source. And Rabbi Soloveitchik is going to bring a number of sources in which he's going to ground this idea that he's going to find makoros within Shas and within the Torah itself that elaborate on this idea, that set a foundation in terms of this idea of Shlichut. And here he begins with a Gemara, which is a well-known Gemara, but a part of this Gemara I think is not as well-known. And that part of the Gemara is something that Rabbi Soloveitchik is going to make a point of. So the Gemara is found in Nida. This is Lamed Amud Beis in Gemara Nida. And it talks about the famous description of the embryo inside of the mother's womb. And the Gemara says that there's a malach, that there's an angel that sits with every embryo before we are brought into this world, that a malach sits with us and learns Torah with us. And all of us, for both men and for women, we have studied the entire Torah before we enter this world. So that's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara then goes on to say that right before we are born into this world, that the malach slaps our lip. That's that's this little indentation that we all have above our lip. And that comes from the malach. And we forget the Torah. Okay, that's the first part of the Gemara. But the Gemara then goes on. There's a lot to say about that as well. And Rabbi Soloveitchik, another article, another piece, talks about that idea or some of the ideas behind that. But the Gemara then goes on and says the following. The Gemara says that the child does not enter the world until a shavua, until an oath is made. And look at the words of the Gemara, just a few words. This is the second paragraph on your page number one. It says Shlichut on the top, page number one. And it says, "Ve'enu yotze misham ad shemashbi'en oto," that until an oath is taken by the embryo, or before this being, what will become an infant, a baby, enters the world, that there is a shavua, that there is an oath that the embryo must take. And we now go to the following line, "Umahi hashavua shemashbi'en oto," And what is the oath? What is the oath that's taken by the embryo? Says the Gemara, Tehi tzadik ve'al tehi rasha. That in your life, you are to be a tzadik, you are to be righteous, you are not to be a rasha. Va'afilu kol ha'olam kulo omrim lecha tzadik ata, heyei be'enecha kerasha. And even if everybody tells you that you are an upright person, that you live a life of righteousness, so in your own eyes, you should see yourself not quite reaching that level of being a tzaddik or being a tzaddikas. V'hebe yodea shekalish baruch hu tahor mishar sav tehorim u'neshama shenatan becha tehorehi. And you should know that there is a soul of purity that's been placed within you. Im ata mishamra b'tara, if you watch over it in purity. Mutav, that is a... that is to be praised. That's a good thing. But if you don't watch over your soul properly, then I will take that soul from you. Okay, says the Gemara, that there is a shvua, that there is an oath, and an oath which is taken in which all of us swear at the beginning of our lives that we're going to live a life of being a tzaddik, or being a tzaddiket, that we're going to live in an upright way, that we're going to live in a way that's dedicated to the Torah and dedicated to good midot. And says Rabbi Soloveitchik, what this represents, what the Gemara is conveying to us, is that God has chosen to bring a neshama and each of our neshamot into the world for a particular purpose, and that we're here to fulfill a role. It's not random. It's not random that we've been brought into this world. Each and every one of us is brought into this world with a shlichut, and that we have an obligation to live up to being a tzaddik, to live our lives in a righteous way. So this is source number one, Rabbi Soloveitchik points to, but he then goes to the Torah itself in terms of the idea of shlichut, and we'll see in a pasuk where it actually uses the term to be a shaliach, and Rabbi Soloveitchik is going to suggest that this is not only a pasuk that refers to this one episode, but it's a pasuk that really is a paradigm that becomes a model for all of us in terms of how we are to live our lives. So look at the following pasuk. So who is the, which personality in the Torah is could we describe as being the shaliach par excellence? Somebody who devotes their life, right, to the will of God and to fulfilling the task that God has set out for him in life. So look at the following pasuk. This is Shmot Gimel Yud, Ve'ata, and now, Lecha, I would like you to go, Moshe, Ve'esh Lachacha El Paro. Now it's interesting because Rabbi Soloveitchik makes a diuk here that it doesn't just say Ve'ata Lecha El Paro. It could have easily have said that in pasuk, that you now, I would like you to go to Paro, and be very, very clear in the pasuk what we're referring to. But Hashem adds another word, right? Another very significant word, and that is, that you are to be a shaliach, that you are to be a emissary on my behalf, that you are to represent me in this world, and you are to fulfill this mission in this world. And that is going to be your mission to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. And says Rabbi Soloveitchik, so we have here the idea of shlichut in the Torah itself. We have it in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of his purpose, his task in the world, but it's true of all of us as well, that this is really a paradigm, that this is a model for all of us in terms of our own life and thinking about our own life, our own lives, and what is it that we are here to accomplish? What has God placed our neshama, our being, our creation, that God has brought us into this world, into this universe at this time, what is it that we are to fulfill? And by the way, that's a very, very uplifting idea. In other words, we're not here, it's not random, that God has in mind for us something great to accomplish with our lives. And every single soul, every single person has their shlichut, and every person is to think about that. We're supposed to contemplate that idea. By the way, that shlichut can change. What our shlichut was 20 years ago or 10 years ago or what it was last week, it might be a different shlichut today. So that's Rabbi Soloveitchik kind of setting the foundation in terms of the idea of shlichut. And now he turns to a very, very beautiful idea that expresses this this notion from Rav Kook, Rav Avraham Yitzchak Cohen Kook. What's interesting is that in the life and in the teachings of Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's very rare to find Rabbi Soloveitchik quoting Rav Kook. I've read a lot of Rabbi Soloveitchik. I think this is the only, from what I'm aware of, the only time that he quotes Rav Kook, a teaching of Rav Kook. So it must be a significant teaching. By the way, Rabbi Soloveitchik spoke about reading Rav Kook, and he says how difficult it is that he has difficulty understanding the teachings of Rav Kook and grasping what he means. So I'm not sure where you know what that says for each of us in terms of reading Rav Kook. But this comes from the Siddur of the commentary of the Siddur of the prayer book of Rav Kook called Olat Riyah. And Rav Kook wrote a commentary on the Siddur. He didn't finish the entire commentary. His son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, then adds other pieces. But you see that this is an area that, as Rav Kook, as a more of a philosopher and a mystic and a poet, that the Siddur is very, many of the Gedolim do not write a Perush on the Siddur. Rav Kook does write a Perush on the Siddur. And this is something hopefully that will resonate with us, especially as we're coming off the Yamim Narayim. This is a part of the davening that we say on Yom Kippur. This is at the very end of the Amidah, and we say it at the end of every Amidah of Yom Kippur. And it's the following, right before we conclude the Amidah, we make the following, I guess, statement or prayer. And if you read it at face value, it's a little bit harsh. It's actually very harsh. And you'll see the words, and we just said it, you know, over the Yamim Narayim. We say, Elokai, my God, ad shelo notzarti eini kedai, before you created me, there was no purpose. It was not kedai, like we use that term in modern Hebrew today, right? It was just not kedai, right? There was nothing, it wasn't worthwhile, my existence. V'ashav shenotzarti, but now that you've created me, ki'ilu lo notzarti, it's as if I'm not created. Afar ani b'chayai, in other words, I'm a total disappointment. I'm a total disappointment. My life is a disappointment. I haven't accomplished anything. Right? I'm absolutely ashamed. I'm a vessel that's filled with shame. So again, as I said before, if you read these words, and this is how we're ending the Amidah on Yom Kippur, every Amidah, it's a strong statement. And then we end, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha, Hashem Elo Kai Velokei Avosai, Shelo Echeteot. I don't want to continue down this path, down this road of sinning all the time, but this is who I am. So that's that's heavy, right? It's harsh. And that's kind of like the brokenness that one is to feel on Yom Kippur and in the process of tshuva. But Rav Kook has a bit of a different take on it. And this is the interpretation of Rav Kook. And again, Rabbi Soloveitchik quoting Rav Kook. And he reads it the following way. And let's go back to the text. Elokai, my God, ad shelo notzarti eini kedai. Before you brought me into existence, before you brought me into this world, there was no purpose for me in this world. In other words, if you created me 100 years ago in Eastern Europe, or you created me 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago, that was not the time to create or to bring my soul into this world. I did not have a purpose at that time. Or you did not see, right, my individuality, right, my personality and my soul as having a purpose in any other time, not before or not after this time either, not 100 years from now or 200 or 500 years from now. It's right now in this year, at this time, that you've brought my existence. So that's Achelon Otsarti Enikadai, the Achshav Shen Otsarti. But now that you have created me, and here Rav Kook kind of fills in the gap here or between the lines, now that you've created me, if I do not fulfill my mission and my task in this world, then it's not kedai that you brought me into this world. But this is a much more, I would say, a more positive read and a more uplifting read. Because what the statement says is that there is a great purpose, that there is a great task, right? There's a great reason for us to be here, to live at this time, to live in the setting, to live in this community, right? To live amongst others. At this time, there's a great, great purpose in my existence. But yes, I do have an obligation to respond to that. I do have an obligation to think about and to follow through with that mission, with that goal, with that purpose. If I don't do that, then I've really lost out, right? If I don't do that, ki'ilu lo notzarti, then you, God, creating me, my existence in this world is lacking. So that is, that's Rabbi Soloveitchik quoting Rav Kook's interpretation of this tefillah that we say. And right below it, you have it in the Hebrew from the, we're not gonna read that right now. But that's the, you can, if you're interested, those are Rav Kook's words, the interpretation that I just shared with you outside. Rabbi Soloveitchik goes on and gives another very, very beautiful example of the idea of shlichut and what it means to be a shaliach of Hashem. And he turns the following episode, which we're going to read in a few weeks, Parshas Vayera, the beginning of Parshas Vayera, and a story that we're all familiar with, and that is Avram Avinu, who's sitting at the entrance of his tent, and he's waiting, as we all know, for guests, the first example of Achnasas Orchim, and he invites those people inside. The Pasuk says, when it speaks about the travelers, the people that are walking by his tent, it says, Vayar v'inei shlosha anashim. And we're all familiar with this, that the Avram sees that there are three people, that there are three people that are walking by. Right, and we know the rest of the story that Rashi says that they're Arabs and he washes their feet and they're Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but these are the Anashim. Okay, however, if we go just a parak, go to the next parak, and we continue in the same storyline, and in the story of Lot, when the Malachim come to Lot, it says the following. This is the beginning of parak Yutet. That was the beginning of parak Yutfet. So we're just one parak later. And now we have the following description. Vayavou shnei hamalachim sedoma ve'erev velod yoshev v'shar sedom. What is the description of these same people in this context? What are they called? They're called malachim, right? They're called angels. So the question is a very simple one, asked Rabbi Soloveitchik. Right? In the first case, it says anashim, that these were just regular people. And here, in this context of Lot, they're called malachim. So Rabbi Soloveitchik offers a very beautiful drasha, a very beautiful idea here. And he says that when these individuals, they were malachim, correct? They were malachim that were visiting the tent of Avram and Sarah. But when they were in this setting compared to Avram Avinu, right? In that context, they were anashim. And who was the malach? Who is the malach? The malach was Avram Avinu, that he was malach-like and even greater than the malachim, that he devoted his life, because he devoted his life to the task that he was here for in this world, that he became a malach, and again, even greater than a malach to some degree, because the malach doesn't really have a choice in terms of the way that they live their life, but that we have a choice, and we choose that path of nobility, that path of dedication and commitment to Torah. So says Rabbi Soloveitchik, in that context, they were just like Anashim, right? Compared to Avram, who was the Malach. So in that, you know, comparatively, that they were Anashim, but then when they make their way to Lot, and we know Lot is not of the stature of Avram Avinu, in that setting, they certainly stand out as Malachim. So that is the a very, very beautiful interpretation of Rabbi Soloveitchik in that context. And again, what does it mean to be a shliach? What does it mean to fulfill a task that we're here to fulfill and that we can attain and we can achieve levels of being like a malach? That's what a malach is. A malach is somebody dedicated to and doesn't know anything else, like, other than the word of God, than the task at hand. And that's Avram Avinu. That's the way that he lived his life. And that is that's the goal that we seek to achieve as well. Okay. Rabbi Soloveitchik elaborates on this idea and he turns to a very, very interesting Gemara. And this Gemara is found in Kiddushin. This is found actually in the Yerushalmi. This is, by the way, on the top of those that are following along on the top of page 2. The top of page 2. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with the section in Gemara Kiddushin that talks about Kibud Av V'Em. Very often they teach this, I think my son, seventh grade, and they generally teach this material. It's beautiful material, important material for children and for all of us to learn. And the Gemara talks about it. It shares a number of stories, which I'm sure some of you are familiar with those stories, of the great sages of the Tanaim and Amoraim in terms of their Kibud Av V'Em and the length that they went in terms of their Kibud Av V'Em. And the story, this is from the Yerushalmi. There's a similar story that's found in the Bavli with Rabbi Tarfon, but this is the way that it's presented in the Yerushalmi. And it speaks of Rabbi Tarfon that there's a story here that speaks about, I think on a particular Shabbos, that the shoes of his mother broke, the sandals. And when she came from her bed or when she returned to her bed, so Rabbi Tarfon would take his hand and on each hand, he would have his mother walk that, you know, so she wouldn't have to soil her feet, that would be comfortable for her. So walked on the feet of Rabbi Tarfon as she would make her way from the room. So that's the example that's brought, and one of the many examples that's brought in terms of the height of Kibud Av V'Em of the great rabbis, in this case of Rabbi Tarfon. The Gemara then goes on and tells the following incident, and that is that Rabbi Tarfon became deathly ill. And his mother was with him, and the rabbis, the great rabbis, came to visit Rabbi Tarfon in terms of, you know, wishing him well, of davening on his behalf. And his mother said to the rabbis when they entered the room, please daven on behalf of my son, Rabbi Tarfon. And I want you to know that he's a great tzaddik. And I want you to know the great Kibud Av V'Em that he has shown in his lifetime. And you should, in that schus, right, that he should have refuah shlema, you should daven on his behalf with this in mind. And the rabbis answer, they say to his mother that Rabbi Tarfon has not reached even half of the Kibud Av V'Em that he should have, that he should express in his life. So Rabbi Soloveitchik asked the following question. I'm not sure if something. Well, he said, what kind of response is that of the rabbis in this situation? In other words, here you have a mother and here you have a son and a son who's seriously ill. And how can you respond in that way? Now, the way the Gemara is generally understood is that, yeah, this is you know, part of what it means, Kibud Av V'Em, that there's really no way of attaining, no way of reaching like the ultimate, right, in Kibud Av V'Em. There's always more to do in that area. That, I think that's the way that it's generally, that the Gemara is generally understood. But again, he finds it, Rabbi Soloveitchik finds it difficult that the rabbis would say that in this context, right, in this setting, to say that to a mother. So the way that he understands, this Gemara is the following. He says that Rabbi Tarfon, in terms of his Kibud Av V'Em, if he would have reached like the ultimate in Kibud Av V'Em, if they would have said, yes, we will daven for him because he has attained that great level, maybe that was his shlichut. Maybe that was his purpose, his task in this world in terms of fulfilling that mitzvah. The fact that the rabbis responded and said, no, he has not attained. He has so much more to go. What they were suggesting was that he needs to live. This is really like a prayer to Hashem. He needs to live many, many more years in order to fulfill his mission, in order to fulfill this task of Kibud Av V'Em in his life. Maybe that's why he was sent to this earth, that he was going to be great in this area. So what that was not not denigrating, right? What that was really an act of prayer. It was a way in which they were saying to Hashem, and I guess maybe they expressed this to Rabbi Tarfon's mother as well, even though the Gemara doesn't spell this out. But what we're praying for is this idea of shlichut, that he has, that there's more that he has to accomplish in this world. Yes, please. Okay, good question. The Rambam puts it very simply. The Rambam says that if you have more mitzvah than you have averot, you're in the category of being a tzaddik. So that's one answer. That's very much in reach, hopefully, for all of us in terms of, as long as we have, you know, we're doing more mitzvah than we're doing averot, that we're in that category. But I think generally, when we talk about it, tzaddik, and the way that it's used in many of the sources, as you're alluding to, is that it's somebody that lives with, you know, a very high level of devotion and righteousness and learning. Yes. They use the word Beinoni. That's the way the Rambam has it, as a Rasha, as a Beinoni, and as a Tzaddik. Okay. Right. Yeah. That's a famous question. It's hard to imagine somebody's exactly 50-50. That's like the Beinoni. Okay. So Rabbi Soloveitchik makes the following point, and very much in line with his thinking. And his approach. So we all have to think about this. We all have to contemplate what it means to be a tzaddik, what it means to fulfill our task, our mission in this world. And that's something that we all aspire to, that we all desire to find that. It's something that we're always kind of reassessing, that we're thinking about. Like, what is it that we're here for? What's the purpose? Right? What more can I bring to my life, to the people around me? But he says that the truth is, none of us, and including Moshe Rabbeinu as well, will fulfill all that we set out to fulfill and achieve in this world. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself, right? That what was his shlichut? Going back to that pasuk, right? The pasuk where Hashem says, "I want you to be my shaliach." The shlichus was to bring the Jewish people into the land of Israel. Does Moshe Rabbeinu do that? He doesn't do it. He himself doesn't enter the land, and he doesn't lead the people into the land of Israel. So when it comes to shlichut, we have great aspirations, right? There is much that we want to accomplish. However, all of us in life also have to recognize that there'll be limitations in terms of fulfilling everything that we set out to fulfill, but we should set the bar very high in terms of what we want to accomplish in life. And he quotes from Rabbi Soloveitchik from the famous line of Pirkei Avos. Interesting, it's Rabbi Tarfon. We just spoke about Rabbi Tarfon in that story. This is Rabbi Tarfon's line. I don't know, maybe there's some way of connecting the two Gemaras, or this mission, the Gemara. And Rabbi Tarfon says, as many of us are familiar with, Hayom katzar, that the day is short, meaning that life is short. V'amlacham miruba, right? But, and there's so much that we want to accomplish, and we have to see life in that way, that there is a lot of malacha, there's a lot of work to do. And by the way, that means that we have to take life and every day and every hour seriously in terms of if we have what to accomplish, if God has put us here, if Hashem has put us here for a purpose. So I don't know, like long weekends and long vacations and I don't know how, we have to see how that fits in. But there's a lot as a Jew, and this is a Jewish perspective, right? There's a lot for us to accomplish. And what does the Mishnah say? Rabbi Tarfon, v'apoalim atzelim. Right, we're a bit lazy about all that we have to accomplish. V'haschar habe, and this great reward. U'bal habayit dochek. Right, but the master is pushing us. The boss is saying, "I have a lot. There's a lot that I have. I have great things in mind. Right, there's a lot for you to accomplish in this world." All right, no. Very good. Right, and the next Mishnah. Right, and he continues on, and the two are related. Right, you may not be able to do it all. Right, don't let that be depressing either. Right, that's again the Rabbi Soloveitchik, what he mentions, that there's so much that we set out to achieve, but there are limitations, right? There's only so much, and that shouldn't get us down. Right, good. And we could connect with the next line. Lo alecha mlacha ligmor v'lo ata ben chorin levatel mimenu. Again, really very much the same theme, that don't be overwhelmed by this idea. But on the other hand, yes, there's so much to achieve in life. Okay. Rabbi Soloveitchik points out another very interesting point related to shlichut, and this relates to the idea of how we think of others, right? Our relationship with others. Now, if we believe that there is a shlichut, a particular shlichut for every person in life, that God brings every soul, every person in this world with a particular mission to achieve, not everybody has the same mission. And if everyone is on a mission from God, if everyone is here with a task to achieve, so what I'm doing and what somebody else does is just as great. In other words, because somebody is a rabbi or a Talmud Chacham or whatever it may be, and somebody else is doing something that appears to be, you know, a bit less than that, well, that's not really the case. That's not true, because there is a shlichut, there's a particular mission for everyone. So the doctor that spends his life helping people, the dentist that's fixing teeth and is doing and helping others, l'shem shamayim, the teacher, the person who's sending out the thousands of shiurim from the OU center, every person has a particular mission. Yes, Rav David. So look at the following Gemara, and the following Gemara expresses this idea. He sees, Rabbi Soloveitchik sees this idea being highlighted in the following Gemara. This is a Gemara that's found in the Gemara Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, Miragla Bepumayu Drabanan Diyavne. This was a regular statement, a famous statement that was made by the rabbis of Yavne, right, near Karen B'Yavne. Ani Berya V'chaveray Berya. I am a creation of God. God created me and God created you. Ani Malachti Be'ir. Right, my malacha is here in the city. V'hu Malachto B'sadeh. But he has a malacha. He's out in the field. Ani Mashkim L'Malachti. I get up every morning for my malacha. V'hu Mashkim L'Malachto. And he gets up to do his malacha. Kishem Shu Eino Misgader B'Malachti. Just as he does not infringe on my malacha, in other words, I have a particular profession or a particular path in life that I have taken. Kachani eino miskader b'malachto, right? That person has his malacha, right? What he has chosen to do, what he sees to be most essential in life, with his skills, with his talents. The Shema Tamar. And one might say, and the truth is, we have an inclination to think this way or to say this. Ani marbe v'humamit. I'm doing something great in my life, and that person is doing something less in his life or in her life. And again, this is something that, as a rabbi, or you can easily, well, look at my life. I'm devoted. I'm teaching Torah. Right. I have this knowledge. I this is the path of my life, and the other people around me, right, are not quite there. And the Gemara says, no, absolutely not. This is the famous statement teaching of the rabbis of Yavne, that everyone has their particular role, right? Everyone was created with a singular neshama, and everyone has something beautiful to contribute to this world. And when you do that, and as the Gemara is going to say in a moment, when you do that, l'shem shamayim, right? If that's done and you see that God is placing this world to achieve a particular purpose in this world, everybody is a shaliach. There's no shaliach that's more or less important than the other, right? Echad, so therefore, and here the end of the Gemara is an important ending, and therefore shaninu, therefore we have a very important principle, echad hamarba, the echad hamamit, whether you're doing a lot or doing a little, whatever path it is that you've chosen in life, uvilvad shiachaven libo l'shamayim. As long as your purpose is l'shem shamayim. So the doctor, the businessman, the accountant, the lawyer, the school teacher, the rabbi, right? Whoever it is, right? Every single individual is different. All of us were placed in this world to accomplish, to attain a different task, a different mission from God. And if all of us are doing, if every individual is doing it l'shem shamayim, right? With the right goal in mind, right? Doing it for the sake of heaven, everyone is a shaliach. So therefore, I don't look askance, right? I don't look down on anyone else, right? Everybody, as long as, again, everybody doing it for the right reason, everyone is as great in the sense that we are all serving as a shaliach of Hashem. Yes?
Now, since we just finished with the Chagim, you could look and say, all right, the rabbi, maybe he gets paid.
Yeah.
The one who spends his time preparing the learning, or the Baal Tefillah,
yeah,
who had to practice hours and hours to make sure that was so good. Or the one who arranged the seats in the shul, who even put toilet paper in the bathrooms of the shul. This is a very important, because sometimes we who are not up there think, what am I here for? We're all here for something, and the littlest thing sometimes has a very big impact.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Up somebody, having a friend, she calls maybe 10, 20 people every Arab Shabbos just to see how they are.
Right.
That's her job.
100%. And the way that if we view every individual in this light, in the light of the idea of shlichut, so now we look at people in a different way. Everybody has their shlichut, and now everybody is important. If you're an emissary of God, and I'm an emissary of God, and you're an emissary, so we're all just finding what it is our task, our mission is in this world, but everyone is equally important because everyone's been sent here by Hashem to fulfill that role. Yes? Ah, so so Rabbi Soloveitchik in his piece says there's only one individual, one man who knew his shlichut, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu, because Hashem said, he says, shalach, that you are to go, shlachachal paro. So he says, that's the great challenge for all of us. But the first step is recognizing that. I would say a lot of people don't live that way. Certainly like a secular person or doesn't necessarily live with this idea that I'm here for a particular purpose. How do we know it? So that's so all of us have to, we work on that, we search for that, and hopefully we find it. You know, that's also, even where we have aspirations, it's not always easy to find it. So yes, you're right. That is a great challenge. That is a very, very, very big question around this. But if that's our mindset, right, if that's our perspective, that we get up every morning thinking that this soul, neshama, shenasata bi, that this soul that you've given to me, that I'm here to do something, we're going to live our day, that day differently if we live with that consciousness. Okay. Yeah, please. Ah, in me. Very nice. Very nice. Nice. B, right. It's not just a whole bunch of neshamas being like sent out. Every neshama is placed with a particular purpose. Very nice. Okay. And maybe your question leads us into it's a nice segue into the next source. Again, it doesn't answer your question, but this idea of believing that there is a shlichut, that we have a shlichut, so that should give us a sense of confidence as well. That should be empowering. And as we just said, to get up in the morning with that idea that there's something great for me to accomplish today. There's a real purpose for my living and for my being here. And here, Rabbi Soloveitchik cites a very, very interesting Gemara, which talks about confidence. And this really relates to Rabbi Soloveitchik himself, which is interesting. So let's look at this Gemara. This is a Gemara that's found on Daf Chaf, Amud Aleph in Brachos. And a little bit of a startling Gemara, a little surprising. And this is about Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, it's the law of those that are following the bottom source on page 2. Rabbi Yochanan, habi ragel da habi ka'azo v'yasev ashari t'tfila. So it says that Rabbi Yochanan would sit by the mikvah. That was his tradition, so to speak. That in the evening, he would take a chair, he would take a bench, he would bring it over to the entrance of the mikvah, and that's where he would sit as the women would come and go from the mikvah. Now, again, that sounds surprising, and the Gemara is also going to be somewhat surprised and going to have a little bit of trouble with that. And we know that it's a private thing, and shuls make a special effort, you know, where the mikvah is, and it should be done privately, and men shouldn't be around. They schedule the meetings different times, and when the mikvah's open, where mikvahs are by the shul. So here, this is very surprising that you have a rabbi, a great rabbi of the Gemara, that's what he did. Again, Rabbi Yochanan Havi Ruggel, he was a regular, to have a shak, davi azil, the yasev, ashare, the tefillah. He would sit at the entrance of where they would have the tefillah, the mikvah. Amar, this is what he said, and this, in a sense, becomes even more surprising. Ki salkan benos Yisrael, the asyan mitvila, when the women will come from the mikvah, they'll see me. I'll be sitting there by the entrance of the mikvah, by the door of the mikvah. Umistaklan bi, they will look at me. Mistakel bi, benehavilahu zara de shapire kavasi, and they'll have children that will be as beautiful as I am. In other words, what he did, and again, I guess there are different ways of interpreting this, but that women would be inspired by seeing a gadol hador, by seeing the face of Rabbi Yochanan, and in terms of the kavan, in terms of what they have in mind that evening, in terms of their progeny, in terms of children, that will have effect on coming generations. Again, very interesting idea, a challenging idea, but something that Rabbi Yochanan believed in. He believed that his appearance, that his face, and women seeing him after the mikvah would be spiritually elevating and would have a positive effect on the coming generation, on the children that they would bear. Okay. Have you ever heard this Gemara? They don't teach this one too. So, right. So this Rabbi Soloveitchik taught it. Okay. So Amri Le Rabbana. Now here we're going to have the response of the rabbis. Now the rabbis in the community were not so happy with the conduct of Rabbi Yochanan. So Amri Le Rabbana, Lo kamistafe mar me'ina bisha. Are you not concerned with an ayin hara? Which means, are you not concerned that others are looking at you? They're talking about you in the community. Who's this rabbi sitting, you know, by a mikvah, and the women are coming out, and that doesn't seem to be appropriate for a rabbi to be doing this. So Amar Lehu, so he said, Ana Mizara de Yosef Ka'asena, that I come from the lineage, right? I am a descendant of Yosef at Sadiq. Now, it's an interesting line, and Rabbi Soloveitchik says that it doesn't mean that he's arguing that he knows his genealogy, that it goes back directly to Yosef, but what he means is that I have the characteristics, right? I have a personality that that represents the Yosef personality. And what was the Yosef personality? The Yosef personality was a person of great confidence. The Lo Shalta Be Eina Bisha, that when it came to Yosef, that what others thought of him, right? The peer pressure didn't make a difference to Yosef at Tzadik. And that's an interpretation of the pasuk, the bracha that's given to Yosef ben Parat Alei Ayin, Amar Biyabahu, Al Tikra Alei Ayin, Ella Ole Ayin, which means he was above the eye. He was above the evil eye. He was above the gossip or what others had to say. If he believed that something was right, if he believed that something was accurate, if something needed to be done, so he went ahead and did it. Where do we see that in the life of Yosef? In terms of that he was above the Ayin Hara, that he was his own man. Okay, good. Okay, good, good. It's a good example. Another example. I think really the very first example, really the first thing that we know about Yosef in terms of his brothers, in terms of the dreams, that he stands up to his brothers, that he says, these are the dreams, this is the vision that I have, even though he knows that that's not going to be very popular, right? It's not going to be popular at all, right, with his brothers and even with his father. Right, but he has the determination and the confidence to say that this is not only when he's sharing the dream, it seems it's not only the dream that he's sharing, but there's a certain message, right? There's a certain theme in that dream, and you know, whatever we can talk about that, but the basic theme of Yosef being sort of the outstanding, you know, individual, and the others are going to recognize that at some point in terms of his philosophy, in terms of his direction. So he's above the Ayin Hara. In other words, he has all these brothers, right, the peer pressure around him that are saying one thing, but he's willing, right, to follow his heart and his mind. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm a Yosef personality, right? I come from the lineage, the genealogy of Yosef. I know that you're not happy about this. I know that you don't necessarily agree, but I believe that this is the right thing to do. I believe that this is going to make a difference in terms of the children, in terms of education, and that was Rabbi Yochanan. And it seems the Gemara, by the way, does the Gemara approve of Rabbi Yochanan in the end or not? Like from the Maskana and the Gemara, it does. It doesn't, right? There's no, the next line doesn't say, and they were, in other words, he answered the rabbis, and that's the Maskana. That's how the Gemara then ends, and with Yosef and with the pasuk from Yosef. And here, Rabbi Soloveitchik says that this is part of what it means to be a shliach as well, what it means to fulfill a task and a mission. And that is that it's something that is very much yours, right? Something that's very personal, and it's not always, and maybe it shouldn't be kind of following the crowd, what everyone else is doing, right? Everyone around me is not making aliyah, right? Should I be making aliyah? Well, I believe that this is the right thing to do. And just because others in my community are not following this path, but I believe it. This is something that, you know, this is the way that I'm reading the Torah. This is the way that I see the will of God. This is the shlichut that I feel that Hashem has for me, right, in my life. And I'm going to follow that dream. I'm going to, even where others are not. And that's part of what it means to believe in this idea of shlichut. It means that haneshama shenasata bi, as you said, and Ethel, right? This neshama that you have given me, right? Yes, others around me may be doing certain things, and there is a time, you know, to fit into the crowd, but there are other times that no. And the great people we know, right? The great individuals are individuals that set their own course, right? Lubavitcher Rebbe came up with the idea that we're going to send a shliach, getting back to this word shliach, right, to the four corners of the earth. I'm going to send my students, my Hasidim, to the Bahamas and to Hong Kong and to Spain. And if two Jews are there every year, that's, you know, let them be there for those Jews. And he changed the world with this. He literally changed the Jewish world and the world with this idea of sending shlichim, right? Mishulachim, the same word, by the way, interesting, right? This idea that that's what it means to be a shliach. And Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's interesting that the word, that this term Yosef, right? That was his name. And I think he very much, you know, thought of himself as a Yosef, like the Gemara says, I come from the lineage. I am a descendant of Yosef. So Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, and you get this sense, and you see this in his writings, especially in the five addresses, where he takes positions that were not popular positions. And the position of being Tzioni, of seeing the greatness of the land of Israel, was not a popular position amongst the rabbis. It's still amongst the Gedolim. It's not something that is, you know, talked about. And this is something Rabbi Soloveitchik called the Dofek and the importance. And he said to the American community, why are you not hearing the knock at the door as Hashem is giving us this great wonder, this great gift, in terms of secular education as well, right? He saw that as something important. Again, a controversial position. Not everyone, most Gedolim are not in agreement with Rabbi Soloveitchik. The openness of Torah learning for women that Rabbi Soloveitchik was open to as well. So these are ideas that were not popular, that the other Gedolim of that time, of his time, were not taking the same position. This is part of the Yosef personality. Okay, so that also in terms of, and the question, Ann Ethel, that you asked before, in terms of finding that shlichut, part of that, Rabbi Soloveitchik is suggesting, is also a confidence. In other words, if you know that you have a shlichut, so that should give you a confidence, and that should embolden, again, in a very positive way, but with a holy chutzpah, as they say in the Hasidic writings. Okay, let's close with the following, and here we come to something that really relates to the Inyana Diyama we just read in terms of Reshit, in terms of the beginning of the Torah. And Rabbi Soloveitchik asked the question, what is it that we are to learn from Parshat Reshit? We know that it's not a historical account of what happened in creation. And we know for a fact that it's not a scientific account. There's no science there. So what is it that the Torah is conveying? What lesson are we to learn from the story of Reshit? And here, this idea is going to be very much related to the idea of shlichut and our purpose in life. This comes from the writings of Rabbi Soloveitchik of the book called Halachic Man. Halachic Man comes in two parts. Part one, which is the longer section, and then this is a second part of Halachic Man, and a very, very considered to be one of the classic, well, first of all, just one of the classic books of Jewish, you know, philosophy of Jewish writing in the last 100 years, and one of the most important contributions of Rabbi Soloveitchik in terms of his religious thought. And let's read the following. And this whole section speaks about the creativity of man, the importance of being creative. So let's read these two small sections from Rabbi Soloveitchik. This is on page 3 for those that are following along. The peak of religious ethical perfection to which Judaism aspires is man as creator. Now, let's just explain that for a moment. Why are we reading about creation? Why is that the first story in the Torah? Right? What teaching is there that just as God is a creator, we are to be creative? And ultimately, it's going to say that we need to create ourselves, that we always need to be working on expanding, enlarging who we are as people. So let's look at the following quote. When God created the world, he provided an opportunity for the work of his hands, man to participate in his creation. The creator, as it were, impaired reality in order that mortal man could repair its flaws and perfect it. So here he presents the following idea, which is a very important one, and again, related to the idea of shlichut, and that is that the world is not a perfect world. When God created the world, and going back to the beginning of the story of creation, it says that there was tohu vavohu, and then God creates the world. Rabbi Soloveitchik points out, I don't know if everybody reads it this way, that when God created the world, that part of tohu vavohu still remained in this world. I think usually, generally, when we read those psukim, there was tohu vavohu, there was an end to tohu vavohu, and now God creates the world. But Rabbi Soloveitchik reads the psukim differently. There was tohu vavohu, and God creates the world, and tohu vavohu is still present in this world. There's still some tohu vavohu, and I don't need to convince anyone here of the tohu vavohu that exists in this world. The pain and the suffering of this world, the war and all the terrible things, right? All the things that are great challenges for mankind, right? For all of us. So this is part of what is in this world, what remains in this world. And what is the purpose of man in this world? Going back to this line. And that is the creator has a word impaired reality. In other words, the reality that we have is imperfect in order that mortal man, each of us, could repair its flaws and perfect it. So we are here when there's imperfection in this world, right? Where there's something that we can fix in this world, something that we can provide in this world that's going to create more tikkun, more wholesomeness in this world. That's part of what it means, shlichut. Right, to look in this world for that which is missing. What is it that I can contribute? What talents do I have? Right, what is it that I can contribute to this world? God gave the book of creation, that repository of the mysteries of creation, to man, not simply for the sake of theoretical study, but in order that man might continue the act of creation. As soon as Abraham had understood, fashioned, engraved, detached, and created, acquired, and clearly grasped the secret of creation, the Lord of the universe revealed himself to him, called him his friend, and made a covenant with him between the 10 fingers of his hand. Man's task, this is an important line, the closing line of this paragraph, man's task is to fashion, engrave, attach, and create, and transform the emptiness in being into a perfect and holy existence, bearing the imprint of the divine name. So thinking about the idea of shlichut, so getting back to your question as well, how do we find that shlichut? So one answer or one avenue, or maybe really the basic idea is, what is it in this world that is less than perfect, right? That is impaired, that I can help make more perfect, that I can make more whole. And when you do this, then you fulfill the halachta bidrafav, then you fulfill the mission of God creating the world, and you now partnering with God as creator, is now filling the world with a goodness that God left for you to fulfill in this world. God has allowed himself, all of us, to partner with him. Okay, that's one idea of Rabbi Soloveitchik. And a similar idea, we close with this. This is from what we just read is page 101 in Halachic Man. Now we go to page 109. And you really need to read the entire book. Not an easy read. But really very profound and very inspiring ideas. Let's see this last paragraph. Judaism declares that man stands at the crossroads and wonders about the path he shall take. And Ethel, this is what you just said. This is Judaism. This is what it means to be a Jew. This question of what path are we to take in life? Before him, there is an awesome alternative, the image of God or the beast of prey. Now here, in other words, we can live a noble life or we can be, you know, kind of just very regular or animalistic, right? We can just, you know, entertainment and food and kind of like fill our lives with that, right? That's one option. And by the way, that's an option that many, many people have chosen, right? Many Jews and many Gentiles, that's basically what their life is. The crown of creation or the bogey of existence, the noblest of creatures or degenerate creature, the image of man of God, the image of the man of God, or the profile of Nietzsche's Superman, and it's up to man to decide and choose. Thou didst fashion me after and before. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Tanchum said, after all the actions and before all the punishments, If he proves worthy, we say to him, you preceded creation, as it is written, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. But if not, a gnat preceded you, a snail preceded you. Okay. You may be familiar with his medrash. We're not going to go into that right now. Let's read the last, just to highlight these last two sentences, or three sentences of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Herein is embodied the entire task of creation and the obligation to participate in the renewal of the cosmos. The most fundamental principle of all is that man must create himself. In other words, what does it mean to be created? We spoke about the idea that God left a bit of creation imperfect that we are to perfect. But there's another aspect of creation that is creating ourselves, always working on ourselves, expanding who we are, becoming greater. That's really what, and Rabbi Soloveitchik understands tshuva in that light. That's really what tshuva is. It's not just about, you know, I didn't get up for davening and now let me get up for davening this coming year. Right, there's a lot. What he sees it as really the most fundamental idea in terms of becoming bigger people, creating ourselves, recreating ourselves as God is creator. And he concludes, it is this idea that Judaism introduced into the world. Right, the idea that Judaism believes and expresses this idea, and going back to where we began, in terms of shlichut, of every person having a particular purpose and living life, right, with that consciousness, right, with that idea, with that notion in mind of so much that we are here to accomplish. There's so much that we are here to achieve. And I'll just end with this. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, and comparing regular shlichut with the shlichut that we have. So generally in halacha, by the way, and in this article, he talks about, compares the halachic idea of shlichut. You know, in halacha, you can assign a shaliach. Right, there are mitzvah, like we have a shliach tzibur. We can assign somebody else to fulfill a task for us. You have that in the laws of Gittin, that you can have somebody serve as a shliach, a yod. You don't have to bring the get per se. You can assign somebody else as a shliach. He says, generally, when it comes to shlichut, so you have the shliach and you have the mishaleach. You have somebody that's being sent to fulfill that mission. But the person that has sent you is no longer with you. I mean, that's the whole idea of a shaliach. Right? You don't necessarily want to do it yourself, or you can't do it yourself, and therefore you send somebody else to do it in your place. But he says that's not true of our shlichut on earth in terms of Hashem and us. He says that Hashem is always with us. In this shlichut that Hashem has assigned us to fulfill, Hashem never leaves us to do the shlichut alone. Hashem is always at our side. Hashem is always present. And that we also have to think about in terms of our shlichut, to feel the presence of Hashem, knowing that Hashem has a great task for us to fulfill, but Hashem is with us. Hashem is cheering us on. Hashem is giving us a helping hand as we're fulfilling that shlichut. And famously, Rabbi Soloveitchik would talk about when he would sit at night, late at night with the Gemara, and he would open the Gemara, that he describes feeling the arm of Hashem, the embrace of Hashem, around him, looking over his shoulder and learning together with Hashem as he was preparing for the shir for the next day. And that's part of what we should have in mind as well, that we're not alone in this shlichut. We have others around us, of course, friends and family that are supporting us, but Hashem's presence, right? Hashem's shechina is with us in the task that he has assigned for us. Okay, we should all be zochet to find our mission and to be inspired by that. And I thank everyone for being here. We continue next week. Again, we're gonna be, every week, we're going to highlight from the thought of the philosophy of Rabbi Soloveitchik. And again, hopefully ideas that resonate and will be inspiring. Everyone have a wonderful day.